Off the Ball Rugby.
Pretty incredible. Only Johnny Sexton really could do this. So look, I know he was a de facto coach anyway. You know, I would imagine there's a few coaches out there whose noses are probably out of joint by this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
It's past 8 this morning. Alan Quinlan is with us. Quinny, good morning to you.
Morning, Joe.
What do you think happened?
Leinster were off it a little bit and Northampton were pumped and up for it, and they created a lot of moments themselves in the game. Their attack was outstanding and Leinster missed 41 tackles in the game. It's an incredible high number for a team that, you know, we saw in round 16 and in the quarterfinals how strong they were defensively. Tactically, Northampton got it right. They played three or four phases. They split. They kind of played little pockets in the midfield and just stopped that big rush defence. Kept away from the touchlines. You know, when you get right to the touchline, that you can get that wave of blitz defence, which Leinster like. So tactically, we were very good. Finn Smith was outstanding, and I thought he was... He really steered him. Alex Mitchell at scrum half as well, very intelligent player. So they were top drawer, and Leinster were well off it. And I should start by apologising to Northampton, really, because I said on Friday that Northampton would be beaten by 15, 20 points. Don't think I was crazy for saying that, because that's what everybody thought. And it's great when you can use that. It's not out of any sort of disrespect. It was just a fear of what Leinster are capable of when they flex their muscles, and the proof was in the two games, and maybe they were just too one-sided for them. Little bit of vulnerability in the pool stages, as I said, against Clermont, and maybe a little bit against Bath. And we probably spoke, Gerard, before Christmas, didn't we, a little bit about the attack, and they weren't firing on all cylinders. There was talks about Jack Neenan or Tyler Blaindell's attack. Was it all clicking into play? So look, hindsight's a great thing for Leinster. They look back and people find little chinks along the way of things that could have been done differently. Should they have played more together? Are they resting their players too much? Do they have too big a squad? Is it a psychological thing?
Give us quick answers to all those there.
There's possibly, you don't know these things until they go wrong. Like, I was talking on Friday about how they've managed all these players. There was 17 or 18 internationals in that Leinster squad who've played 6 or less URC games. Now, they've played the internationals and they've played Champions Cup, but they're very, very well managed.
And they're top of the table in the URC.
Yeah, and, you know, they've managed the season. And we spoke about at the start of the season, I felt it was going to be a real angry, aggressive approach from Leinster for every match this season. And, you know, we're in the business end where you do have to do a bit of rotating. But, again, hindsight's a great thing with Jordy Barrett, you know, everybody's talking about that. But to answer the first two that you said were, yes, could they have, is it better if they don't rotate a little bit more? It'll come up in their reviews maybe that they look at that. Their on-field game management was, the decision at the end, forget about all the tactics, the decision to not kick a penalty when Tommy O'Brien kicks the ball up the touchline, Augustus takes him out with a late tackle. Stupid. They get a penalty. It's probably closer between the right-hand post and the 15-yard line. I'm not sure exactly where the penalty was. It wasn't an easy kick, but for me, you put the ball down on the tee and you put it over the bar. It wasn't a hard kick.
No.
So you level the game at 37 all. And you psychologically say, it hasn't been our day, in a sense of those 50-50s. You look at Tommy Freeman's third try, like that sums it up. High ball in the air from Mitchell, Ball bounces. Augustus catches it on the run. Brilliant offload out the back. Freeman scores in the corner. And that sums up those games where you just, you're looking around, you're trying to find something to happen. But the opposition, and we always talk about this intrigue, Ger, of how luck, or the opposition got lucky in. And then we'll have the debate about you create your own luck. And there's so much truth in the fact of creating your own luck about, you know, chasing down a guy for a kick, trying to block down the out half when he's clearing it. It might hit the top of your fingers. You might stop, take 10 yards off it. You might block it down. Throwing that body in the air for a line out rather than saying, oh, just let him win it. It's too risky. And you do tend to, it's like a golfer being brave, taking on a shot. Sometimes it can go wrong, but
yeah,
you create, and they were creating their own luck. The one thing they had was incredible bravery in their attack. And they adopted an attitude, I think, of, look, we can go to Dublin here and we can sit back and we can try and defend and we can try and, we are going to have to do that for long periods of time. But let's be brave, let's attack, and that's the only way we know how. Because they, let's be honest, Northampton have been very inconsistent in the Gallagher Premiership. I watched a Munster-Northampton game in January, and yeah, Munster could have and possibly should have beaten them. You know, not a Champions Cup winning team, you would have thought. The Munster side, they were nowhere near that. And Northampton away from home, 34-32 in that game. If Munster were a bit shrewder defensively, they would have won that game.
All right, Darrow Breen, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you both?
Yeah, great. Thanks very much for doing this for us.
No, delighted, absolutely. I was having to take a trip down Sporting Memory Lane, as it were.
Was it difficult for you to pick a list of five?
Yeah, particularly the last one I was choosing between, because I thought I'd classify them, you know, put them so they didn't overlap in any way. So there's great moments. I didn't repeat sports, really. I had to pick the best of things that probably deserve to be in of their own accord, like whatever. Yeah, it was interesting. I like attending sports. I mean, like, it's like, you know, I like crowds at the best of times. I like being among crowds, and I like the dynamics of that. So it's one of the things that I try to shift my life towards getting to do as much as possible.
What are your big sporting loves? There's certainly Arsenal, isn't there?
Yeah, there'd be Arsenal, hurling. I think it's Arsenal, hurling are kind of there and thereabouts together. Yeah. Probably I'm in London, so Arsenal wins that more often. And then there's just a general class of, you know, like the Olympics, like attending things and, you know, being there in that moment, like the whether or not I would actually go to a lot of archery finals normally. I made an exception last summer, and it was honestly, that was like number six on the list, the archery final, the men's archery final last year at the 24. It was a phenomenal event. Came down to one arrow each, and it was like pure Robin Hood who gets closest to the bull. The obscure ones that just pop up are a joy as well. I just enjoy this. That emotion, that kind of liveness of it all as well.
Yeah. It's class. I love that those obscure sports and Olympics too, because we all get carried away and become archery experts for 35 minutes. And there's nothing I don't know about archery in that half an hour. Ask me anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh no, look, I had strong opinions on the American lad and how he'd never want to go into that. And this is very important to him now, but he clearly wasn't going to. Whereas South Koreans, you know, there was one point there was a batch of South Koreans beside us, and then these two other South Koreans arrived, to whom they all deferred enormously. And we couldn't work out if it's because they're celebrities or because they were royalty. They were in no way recognizable as the rest of us, but there was just a huge, all the South Koreans would turn and see these two, this couple go, and then they'd come over and very deferentially bow to them and shake their hand like the yes. All sorts of theatre going on. It's a glorious thing. Can't see myself going to LA, because it just doesn't feel it has that. You know, I like a contained Olympic Games. In my long experience of attending two of them, I like a contained one. So I think Brisbane might be the next one. But you know what? It's a curveball. Yeah, and a Winter Olympics, that might be fun there. That might be an interesting one to go to.
I don't know what the Winter Olympics will be like as a TV spectator sport. As a spectator sport actually to be at, the whoosh of the thing past, you're like, who is that? It's a bit like Formula One.
Oh, look, no, things I wouldn't bother attending include Formula One, golf, anything where you're seeing a fragment of stuff, and you're essentially there as a hot prop, or Glastonbury, similarly. Glastonbury is, you're basically at one stage cheering, and it's much better as a television spectacle. It's so great that other people attend to supply the audience noise for your enjoyment as a television spectacle. I think you could pick out ones that would work. The big ski jump finals. You know that one. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. That one. That would be an amazing thing to be sitting at. Whether or not coming the downhill would be but the randomness curling would curling work on it? If you got to a particularly exciting game. Yeah, so I think I could randomly get into it. It's whether you want to be in the Norwegian half of it, in which they do the traditional stuff, or in the exports half. Which is another thing again entirely. I'm not sure the half pipe stuff appeals to me that much.
To listen to this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.